Hey everyone, welcome back to my podcast. I hope you had the most wonderful, wonderful week. Today we have a super interesting podcast for you today. One is quite specific, but I love this topic. I think it's really interesting. Something I have thought about like quite a lot in my own life, and also how that exercise is actually impacting me. So if you are interested in this video, thank you so much for clicking on it, listening to this today. What have I been up to? I have been recording my voiceovers for my YouTube video just there. I've been working most of the day. I think that's about it. What else have I been up to? I'm coming up to a really, really busy time. I'm actually going to London next week, and I'm also going to a nutrition conference in Aberdeen as well within the same week. I also have an award ceremony that week too. So I literally have three big things in the 1 week. But London is a pleasurable trip. We're going as kind of like a holiday with my family, which I'm so grateful for. It's going to be so much fun, but I'll tell you all about that later on. I'm going to talk to you guys about that when that is done, as well as this nutrition conference that I'm going to, which should be a lot of fun as well. But yes, I'm going into a really busy time, so I'm trying to keep it quite slow this week, but that's obviously difficult to do as well, to reel it in a bit. But today, I really hope you guys have had a most amazing week. Hope you have really fun things coming up as well. It's the first day of spring today, actually. It's Wednesday the 20th of March, filming this. Why do I keep saying that? Recording this, and that is the first day of spring. So that feels good. It feels good to be kind of moving into brighter times, and I know a lot of you will feel that as well. I think the clocks go back on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, Saturday night, I think, or Saturday. Yeah, I think so. And I'm really looking forward to moving into the more spring times. We have done quite a few Munros now that have been like horrific weather, so I'm looking forward to the spring summer Munros coming back, and also just having more light in the day. But yes, I'm not really like massively bothered about the seasons, but I do by the end of winter really look forward to the summer and to the spring and all of that. But I would like to plan some fun trips for the summer around Munros and stuff like that, but we'll see how that goes. But I hope you guys have a lot of fun things planned for the summer, and also looking forward to those brighter nights and mornings. But apart from that, let's get into it. Today I'm going to be talking about swimming versus running, and which method is actually better at making us healthier and keeping us healthy in the way of cardio. So I'm not talking about strength training here or any other types of activity. I'm literally talking about cardio and which one is better. And I do both. I run and I swim, and swimming has been a massive important exercise to me my whole life. I was a competitive swimmer for a long time in my childhood, probably about 7 years, and I also did a couple different, well, I had a little stint of doing triathlons and aquathons when I was younger, and now I run a little bit more recreationally. So I have a long history with these activities, and I've always wondered like what one is better. Are they very much the same, or what's the deal? So I looked into the literature for you all, and we're gonna talk about it today. And it's also quite interesting because I have quite a lot of, I've uncovered quite a lot of interesting stuff looking within this area of research. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that as well. But let's just get right into it. The first study that I actually found was so fascinating and really just sets the scene for the whole thing. Well, to be honest, actually gives the answers for the whole thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the other studies that I found and then sum up with that one, because it gives me the answer pretty definitively, to be honest, which is insane. So lock in your votes just now. What one do you think is better for you, swimming or running? I want to think about that just now, keep it in your head, and then at the end I'd love to hear what you guys thought about what movement would have been a little bit better for our health. Or let me know, send me a message or comment on the post that you see this in. I might put a poll up on Instagram as well, so follow me over on Instagram for that. But study two, let's think about that. So this one looked at rats specifically, which I don't really like to include animal studies in human kind of related stuff, like podcasts and stuff, because it's useful to inform our position, and then moving forward it's not really that important, because of course we are not rats. But this specific study didn't see any difference in blood pressure or general differences when it came to swimming and running. So that's kind of reaffirming the belief that I had before this podcast, that running and swimming were like pretty much the same when it comes to cardio. So that's really interesting. The next study, which kind of goes on a branch as well, I don't know if you've ever given this much thought. If you're a swimmer, you probably will have, but in general, swimmers tend to hold a little bit more body fat than runners. So if you average an entire population when it comes to swimmers and runners, runners usually have a lower body fat percentage than swimmers, which is really interesting, and this study looked specifically at that. Albeit it had a very small population size, so it had 8 male swimmers and runners that were monitored during 45 minutes of exercise in both groups. So the caloric cost of recovery, so sometimes in many different types of activities, the caloric cost of actually recovering from that movement takes calories and takes energy to do so, right? So that also contributes to the effectiveness of maintaining your health through exercise, is the recovery cost as well of on the body and how that impacts your health. So the calorie cost was similar for recovery, but it increased fat oxidization during recovery in swimmers specifically. So it actually looked like it increased the fat oxidization, which basically means using fat for fuel, in swimmers rather than runners. So that doesn't really explain why runners tend to have a lower body fat percentage. If anything, it suggests that there's not really much difference, but there might be other factors going on. There was also a couple differences in serum glucose, and blood glycerol was also higher immediately after exercise in running rather than swimming, which is interesting, as well as glucagon to insulin ratio was significantly greater in the swimming group rather than the running group. So it does seem, and I know this is just a lot of science, but it does seem that there are differences in substance utilization between groups. So whether you are a runner or a swimmer, the substrates in your body are changing depending on what exercise you are doing. But it's not really clear what that really has or is doing an impact on our body fat percentage or our body composition. But during recovery, neither post-exercise energy expenditure nor fat oxidization favoured an increased fat storage in swimmers. So basically all that means is that during recovery there was no real differences between the swimming and the running groups. So it's interesting that there isn't actually a difference between fat oxidization and then also the biological mechanisms that are going on within the body, whether you're a swimmer or a runner. So it might be that, which is a little bit interesting and is more around like sociology, physiology and psychology is that maybe the lifestyles of swimmers and runners are very different, and that's what's leading to lower body fat percentage. So maybe people that run tend to identify with a smaller body and value it more than swimmers. That's just a complete throw that out there. Or maybe the running itself has more of an impact on body fat than swimming, in a different way that the study looked at. Or maybe it might be something to do with the chemicals in water and chlorine and all of that. Who knows? It could be anything. Or it could be, you know, literally explained by that people that are different factors like running, people who like swimming. I literally just ripped my microphone, like the earphones out of my microphone. It was the most loudest noise ever. Don't worry, I cut out the podcast so you can't hear it, but oh my god, that almost like, I don't even know. Basically, recording the podcast with the microphone is like such an immersive experience, like you can hear everything but only hear like a very small thing at the same time. And that was like, oh my god, that was horrible. Anyway, luckily I was at the end of that study anyway, but it's really interesting that there's something inherently, or something about the exercises that are having different impacts on different people, or maybe that certain populations are more likely to go for running or more likely to go for swimming. And it's interesting how little research there is on that. And I wonder if you're a swimmer or a runner, or if you have more of a liking towards one or the other, what you think about that. But I'll circle back around to that first study that I mentioned that really does just give us all of the answers. This is such a fantastic study. Basically, it evaluated the difference between different activities and all-cause mortality. So basically, the impact of different sports on death, if we put it that way. But this only looked at men, which I'm going to talk about a little bit after this study, but it was done in men. So this could be pretty much redundant when it comes to women, but I imagine that the differences aren't so drastic and that we can still apply this to women and the female population. But it is sad that this hasn't been done on women as well, which is a whole nother story. But I'll divert away to that just now. But anyway, in 40,000 men, so about 40,547 men, between the ages of 20 to 90 years old, participated in the study, and also that were in a health and examination between 1971 and 2003. So yes, this was done a while ago, but it is still a massive study. Like, this is a big study, one that is really useful in science and in health sciences. So they also adjusted for age, BMI, smoking, alcohol, and family history of cardiovascular diseases, which of course is all the factors that might make big differences when it comes to this data. If they found that swimmers had 53% lower mortality, so lower risk of death than people who were sedentary, they had 50% lower mortality than people who just walked, so people who, you know, were walkers, and then 49% lower mortality than runners. So that means that in this specific population, and in men, 49% were had a lower mortality risk when in swimmers than runners. So what's going on? Is there something inherently healthier about swimmers or about swimming itself? Or is it the lifestyle that swimmers have? You know, what is it? Because there is massive statistics on that. So basically, swimmers have lower mortality rates. Swimmers seem to die less than people who are sedentary, people who walk, and people who are runners. So there's something about swimming. There's something about swimming that is causing these statistics. And yes, like, just looking at age, BMI, smoking, alcohol, and family history of cardiovascular diseases is not all the factors to consider in this argument, but we can pretty much reasonably say there's something specifically good about swimming or the lifestyle in which swimmers have that tend to be really, really healthy and somewhat healthier than running. You know, is it something about the impact of running? Because that seems to be the main difference in these two groups, is that swimming has virtually no impact on the body and running has a lot of impact. So you're constantly hitting the road, impact on the bones, but also impact on the organs and overall musculoskeletal system. But when it comes to swimming, it's literally just movement of the body with very, very low impact, if any impact. And that has been one of the downfalls of running, is that it seems to have such a high impact on the knees, on the bones, on the joints, that seem to have or give people problems later on in life. But swimmers don't see that as much. So it might be that the impact of running over time in people who just run kind of catches up with you. It might make your joints sore, it might make you less likely to run, and because you don't do any other exercise, you stop moving and therefore have higher risks of mortality and disease. And that might be the hypothesis behind that, or it might be the suggestion behind that, but it could be so much more than that, which is really, really interesting. And I would like to say we don't know 100% that swimming is better than running, but it does seem that we have some research that suggests swimming is inherently more healthy than running, which is really interesting. But I would like to say as well that the research on this area is not like hugely, hugely extensive. When looking at this area, like, it was quite surprising how little actually came up around this, you know, debate of which is better, swimming or running. And of course, we also have to consider the fact that a lot, I mean, all of these studies that I have in this podcast is all done on men, which is absolutely insane that this was all done on men. And the reasoning behind that was because these studies were done between 1990 to 2003. And we all know that it's a massive gap in literature with women's health, and women basically haven't been studied appropriately when it comes to health and wellness and exercise and also disease prevention and management. So there's a huge gap in literature, specifically around this time, on what exercise or what different things to do with female health is actually helpful, which is really sad. And it really hit me when I was researching this, because it was so obvious that maybe people just thought women weren't worth studying, or women weren't, are too complex to study. And yeah, like, if we look at men only when it comes to scientific research, there's a lot of less there's less factors that we need to worry about. So there's no hormonal changes in the same way as women. There is a, which have a massive impact on different exercises. So running, if you, you know, put a woman in a running or swimming environment and ask them to do that once a week, four times a month, they're going to see massively different performance abilities. They're going to see different energy levels, and that's incredibly difficult to study and make differences upon and show differences upon and come out with good results. So that has been putting people off studying women for a long time. And because of the current and previous societal mindsets around women, it was okay not to study women and not find out what actually impacts female health, which is absolutely horrific and something that is so sad that I am part of a scientific community that at one point did that. Of course, women in STEM is a massive thing now, which is important, and you don't really find many studies now that only look at men. You usually see studies that have a combination of both men and women, and specifically looking at women when it comes to hormones and things like that. There's still a problem with that. There's still a gap, which is really, really sad. But of course, all of this research was done on men only, and we can't really make assumptions even about women from this literature. But if you're a man and you're listening to this, yeah, again, you are have all the answers. Women are left a little bit not with any answers. But all I can say is that running and swimming are both incredibly important movements to do. And if you want to do both, you'll probably see the benefits of both. And also make sure you're doing weight training and flexibility and all of that. But if you love swimming, if you love running, do them both, mix it up, try it out on lots of different things. But it does seem maybe that swimming has a better impact on the body long term. You know, these followed men for over 30 years. So there is definitely some suggestion that probably women as well would see such benefits from swimming. And it is worth thinking about. If you're someone who hates swimming, maybe take this episode as a motivation to try it out, to try and see if you like it. Try learn a little bit more about swimming and how to swim in a training environment. But apart from that, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. It really allowed me to kind of look a little bit deeper into two very specific exercises, which I really enjoyed. Also allowed me to look a little bit deeper into, you know, come face to face with the impacts of the health research gap when it comes to women and women in research. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you found it interesting. If you did, please do share it with your running and swimming friends, people who love either of those activities. Send it over to them, or people who you want to get into these things. Maybe the stats will show them what's so good about these sports. But of course, please do follow along in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps me to see who is interested in the podcast and the type of demographics and stuff like that. And it also allows you to be notified when I post a podcast, which is every Sunday at 10 a.m. So thank you so much again, and I will speak to you all next week. Bye.